Father, we love you and we thank you for this opportunity you've given us. And Father, we don't take it lightly as we come together this morning. We believe, Father, that it is in your heart to speak to us. It is in your heart, Father, for your word to grab a hold of each life in this room and to minister to us through that word. I pray, Father, over this word that the anointing of the Spirit of God, Father, would just go into every place, Father, every heart in this room, Father God. You open us up to receive it, Father God. Lord, that ultimately it may make an impact in our lives, changing us, conforming us into the image of your Son. Father, for that anointing, Lord God, we are eternally grateful, Father God. We bless you and thank you, Lord, and we look forward, Father God, to you having your way in this service. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. For many, many years, as those individuals that launched out into the vast unknown of our oceans and explored the oceans, one of the things that they ran up against because of the food supply in that day and time was they ran up against a disease called scurvy. Scurvy was a disease that was caused primarily by a lack of vitamin C. Vitamin C contained in so many fresh fruits and vegetables was not available to them whenever they traveled by boat, and so they would come up with this horrible disease. They finally learned to take citrus and various things with them, and I don't understand why they couldn't have just gone to the Walmart pharmacy and got them a couple of bottles of vitamin C pills, but nevertheless, if they wanted to do it the hard way, they could do that. It's amazing at what one little vitamin or one little mineral can do to the human body. As a pastor, I've had an opportunity to talk with many people who have had deficiencies in their lives of sodium and potassium and all different kinds of minerals that God has created for our bodies. We have to have every one of them to function right. One of the things that I look at as I make a spiritual comparison with those couple of stories there is I really believe that the Church of Jesus Christ has a couple of deficiencies. That wasn't really a place to say amen loud. It was just a place kind of to... it is true, but I will go on past that. I believe one of the things that persists in the Church of Jesus Christ today is something that was found even 2,000 years ago whenever Jesus was here on the earth. One of the things that he kept rebuking his disciples for is, he said, O ye of little faith. O ye of little faith. Folks, this morning I want to make the point that you and I are supposed to be people of faith. That is a distinctive. It is a Christian distinctive. It's not what kind of car we drive. It's not how much that we tithe. It's not kind of what kind of edifice that we come to church in every time. But it is faith. That is the distinctive that sets us apart. We are people of faith. Amen. The Bible tells us the just shall live by faith. Amen. It says we walk by faith as a Christian. Amen. Let me read you a couple of verses. This is in Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Verse number 1. It says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from the dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead and the eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. Faith towards God. Notice the terminology there. The writer of Hebrews, he says, faith towards God. It is the second foundational stone listed in Hebrews chapter 6. The second of the two foundational stones that we find here as we read. A foundational stone. How many of you all know that whenever you begin to talk about foundational stones, they're really important? Amen? They're so important that if you don't lay a good foundation, guess what happens to the structure? The structure will eventually tumble if the foundation is not good enough to handle the weight of the structure. So thus, whenever you build a building such as this one of the first things that you want to do is lay a good foundation. Amen? And so, faith towards God is that foundational stone listed here in Hebrews chapter 6 that you and I have to begin to work on. If we are the Church of Jesus Christ, we ought to be people of faith. Amen? Last week we heard a sermon about Elijah and how that he heard the abundance of rain, even though he was not experiencing physical rain at the time, even though the sound of rain would have been way off in the distance, Elijah heard in his spirit the abundance of rain. And from that word that God dropped in his heart, because he could literally, from the spirit realm, hear the abundance of rain, it gave him great faith to believe that rain was coming. In fact, six times his servant got up and ran and looked towards the ocean, and not one cloud was coming up out of the ocean. But Elijah had great faith, and so he sent him again. And on that seventh trip, we all know what happened. His servant came back and he says, "Hey, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand." Now, I'm just going to tell you something, man. A cloud the size of a man's hand couldn't rain enough to fill up your coffee cup. Come on now. But Elijah, because of his great faith, because of this word that had came into his spirit, he sent King Ahab on his way. He said, "Ahab, you better get on that chariot and you better drive fast, because pretty soon the roads are going to be flooded. The valleys are going to be flooded with water. You better get on home, Ahab." Great faith made him say that. It wasn't raining yet. There wasn't any need for an umbrella. There was only a cloud the size of a man's hand. The practical definition of faith. It's kind of according to J.D. Watson, if that's okay. Believing that what God said he can do, he can do it. See, because we all read in this book about what God can do. But faith is believing that he can do it. And not only that he can do it, but he will do it. Amen? That's kind of the practical definition of faith. That he can do it, that he will do it. Faith is this kind of this agreement with God in his abilities to perform his word. So basically, you look at his word and you know what? God, I have faith. Thus, I believe that you will perform your word. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah that God watches over his word to perform it. He watches over his word to perform it. And so as faith begins to rise in our spirits, you and I got to understand that things like this are going to start coming out of our mouth. That God, I believe your word. Thus, it's going to happen in my life. It is going to happen in this ministry. It's going to happen in my family. I believe your word. That's faith. Faith is just believing, or faith isn't just believing in the word of God. It is believing in the God of that word. Now, the biblical definition for faith is, in Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And kind of to clarify that statement, it's kind of the reverse order of the natural law. You know, faith says, hey, it's believing in things that you can't see. It's believing in things that you just hope for. It's actually saying, hey, they are just as real as those things that I can put my hands on here in this physical realm. Folks, I got to tell you, whenever you begin to get faith in your heart and you pray, it's just like that. It's just that real to you. Is I believe the God of this word. And I believe that he is actively watching over his word to perform it. And so all of a sudden inside of your heart, something rises up. And whenever you pray a prayer, it is just like the physical realm. You can't see it. You can't touch it. But you know it is there. That's faith. The natural law that's out there is kind of like this. Seeing is believing. Come on. And how many of us are so tempted to try to bring that into the spiritual realm? You pray a prayer and you go, God, I'll believe that whenever I see it. God says, no, my requirement is you believe it before you see it. You see, seeing is believing. We have to turn that into believing is seeing. Come on now. I knew I was going to have problems with you because you were falling asleep while ago during the baby dedication. The natural law says seeing is believing, but somehow or another the church has to get a hold of this deficiency that you and I walk in, and we got to say, wait a minute, I'm turning that around into believing is seeing. I'm going to believe it, so thus I'm going to see it. So you got to ask the question, well, just like in the days of those early travelers going out across the ocean, you know, and so important to them was this little element called vitamin C, you got to ask yourself the question, why is it so important to the church today to have faith? Why is faith so important? And let me kind of bring that down to the lowest common denominator, because you have to understand, you are the church. See, we're not talking about the body of Trinity Assembly of God. We're talking about the individuals that make up the body of Christ. So why is it so important that I have faith? Why is it so important that you have faith? Well, the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Come on now. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. I believe that there has to be an understanding of this statement here in Hebrews 11:6. Because I really wholly believe this. It is probably one of the greatest needs in our spiritual life. Without God, it is impossible. I mean, without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's one of those foundational stones that our whole Christian walk really exists on. God has built a relationship with us. That was the whole symbolism of the veil being torn in two in the temple. Jesus dying so that you and I could go freely into the Holy of Holies. Literally, the Bible says, to come boldly to the throne of grace. So he has built this relationship with us. But let me make sure we understand this. The relationship that any one of us in this room would have with God is totally 100% based on faith. Because at no time in my life have I ever seen God. I've never touched Him. I've never heard Him. I would like to hear an audible voice from God one of these days. Don't you think that would be awesome? The Bible says his voice is like the sound of thunder, rolling waters. I mean, imagine the audible voice. I think it'd shake my liver. I think if I had the audible voice of God, hear it, I think it would probably change next Sunday sermon. Come on. But unfortunately, I've not heard the audible voice of God. I've never seen God, never touched Him. I have a relationship based on faith. Whenever I kneel down, I pray, and I pray totally and wholly in faith that His Word says His ear is inclined towards me. That His Word says that I am the apple of His eye, and that I actually belong in His presence because of the blood of Jesus Christ that has made me right with God. It's faith. I mean, man, why else would I approach the Creator of the universe? I'm talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and ever even think He would give me a moment's notice. But the Bible says He loves me. So by faith, I approach His throne. So our whole relationship with God is built on this faith towards Him. No measure of works, no measure of prayer, no measure of Bible study will ever meet the basic requirements of living by faith. Come on. You can read this Bible all the way through from cover to cover every day, and it's not going to meet that requirement that God says, listen, man, it is impossible to please me unless you are a person who walks in faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Nowhere in the Word does He write down, without reading my Word, it's impossible to please me. Come on. Without going to church, it's impossible to please me. Are you with me? He said it's without faith. There's nothing that can equal a human being stepping out and saying, man, my life is going to be ordered by faith. You know, I look at God and I look at the expanse of the universe. I look at the idea of the scripture saying that he measures the universe in the span of his hand. And you know, we in the cosmos, you follow me, we are nothing as the planet Earth. We think we're the big dogs, but we're not. We're so tiny, so minute, we can't even comprehend how tiny and minute we are. In fact, whenever you boil it down to where you live at, you know, at the end of your street, there you are, you have to understand that it's even more tiny and more minute. But yet God gives so much emphasis. He is such a big God. And you start thinking about, what could ever limit this God? What could ever limit him? I mean, that he literally opened his mouth, and out of his mouth came creation. See, I tell you, there's a lot of people today that limit Jesus Christ. They say, he was just a good teacher. He was just a good man. He was just a prophet that lived a couple of thousand years ago. I'm telling you that there is coming a day whenever his feet are going to touch down on this planet again. And he is not going to come as Jesus the Messiah or Jesus that was in the manger. He is going to come as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is going to come as the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And I'm going to tell you something. The world is going to say, we have underestimated this guy for a long, long time. Now, I say all of that to get to this point right here. God limits his ability to help you and I by the measure of faith that we place in him. What limits God? I'll tell you what limits God in my life. It is the faith that I place in him. I'm going to tell you, he could do many, many more things with me if I just had more faith. But I've limited him. Come on now, I'm preaching better than you guys are looking at me. Folks, I'm talking about something that is an ingredient that I believe wholeheartedly the church has got to get a hold of. Folks, in these last days, we are going to be called on as the church of Jesus Christ, the bride of Christ, to shine forth his glory in the dark world that is around us. And I'll tell you, we're not going to do it with fancy programs and to get another projector that just does a wonderful job of presenting the message with. We are going to do it as a people who walk by faith. That's the way we're going to do it. But our faith as individuals, our faith as a ministry is limited. We limit God. It says the just shall live by faith. I'd like to come to a place in my life where I just live by Mexican food. I mean, of all the foods on the planet, that's my best. And I like food. I'm pretty much not, I'm non-specific as to what I eat from day to day. I don't like Brussels sprouts, don't like rhubarb. But for the most part, everything past that, it's edible. I'll eat it. Pretty much like a dog, not a cat. Cats are so finicky. I'm not going to eat that. I pretty much say, hey, I'll eat it. Send it over here. But I think Mexican food is it. You know, if I had one food that I'd just say, I'll live by this. Jose, you're with me, aren't you? Come on, you better be with me, man. You got a wife that cooks that food, man. Whew, I love it. I love it. But the Bible tells us the just, that's talking about the church of Jesus Christ, those that have been justified by the blood of Jesus Christ, it says that they shall live by faith. Live by faith. So faith isn't just an action, but see, what it begins to be is a constant activity in the life of a believer. Like, see, whenever I get up in the morning, if I was living by Mexican food, I'd eat breakfast and there'd be Mexican food breakfast. Lunch, I'd have a couple tamales and a taco, and by supper, man, you're talking about burritos and enchiladas. Are you seeing what I'm saying? The just is going to live by faith. You're going to get up in the morning and you are automatically going to begin to operate in the faith realm, not the natural realm that you can touch and you can feel, but the faith realm that by faith you can see it. You can touch it. And at lunch, you're going to do the same thing. And by supper, you're going to be in gear. You're moving by faith. You're operating by faith. The Bible says the just will live by faith. You see, I believe a lot of times in our Christian walk, one of the things that is a real hindering problem is that we jump from one faith experience to the next. We're like bugs that can jump. Crickets, they jump. They just jump from one experience to the next. God is calling us to walk in a continual walk of faith. Come on. A continual walk of faith. In Ephesians 2:8 it says, "For by grace you're saved through faith." Faith is so essential in our life that God ties it to salvation. Do you realize how important salvation is? He says, "You are saved by grace through faith." He gives us this grace. That's His part. And we accept it by faith. That is our part. And we get saved. Folks, I'm telling you, if any one of you in this room today is going to heaven because you have made it right with God and you know that you know that you know that you are right with God, if your life was to end this moment and you know you would step over into glory, I'm going to tell you how you got there. You got there because you believed your way there. You believed your way there. Another reason why faith is such an important teaching for every believer is that everything that you face in life, you got to begin to face it from God's perspective. You know what God's perspective kind of is, in a nutshell? It's unlimited ability. Unlimited. You see, that's what small children believe of their parents. Small children. Whenever my children were small and they wanted something, and I'd say, "Hey, we don't have the money for that," they would say, "Well, just write a check." Come on. They thought inside that checkbook was unlimited ability to buy anything they want. And whenever you try to explain to them, "Well, see, son, if there's no money in the checking account, you can't write checks." And you know, I actually found out that's not true. Now, the bank really frowns on it. And if you don't make it right, actually law enforcement can frown on it as well. But see, early on in a child's life, they believe that within their parents there is unlimited ability. "Hey, Dad can do it. Let me go get my dad. My dad's stronger than anything. He can take a bullet with a steel chest. He can jump over a flaming building. I don't know. My dad. Come on." See, that's what we have to approach life at. We have to approach life and say, "Man, my God has unlimited ability." Because I want to tell you something. There's nothing, absolutely nothing on this planet that makes God sweat. Some cataclysmic thing happens in your life, and man, you're running around going, "I don't know what's going to happen." God is not up there doing the same thing. Him and Jesus are not up there going, "Oh, we got to make a plan. We got to make a plan quick. What's going to happen? Oh, dear, everything's out of control." I'm telling you, nothing makes Him sweat. He has unlimited ability. And that's what faith does. It helps us to walk through our life saying, "Man, I don't care what comes my way. My Heavenly Father that loves me, I am the apple of His eye. He has unlimited ability. And anything I face, man, provision from heaven has been laid up to take care of it." Too often, we approach life from our perspective. And y'all know what our perspective is, right? It's limited ability. Speaking of limited, and speaking of Mexican food, I went out to the freezer the other day, and I was kind of going through the freezer, and I only have one more package of tamales left in the freezer. Hold on, this is serious. I'm limited to one package. I'm limited to, I can't even invite my kids over. I'm going to have to hoard that last package myself. But isn't that the way we are as we walk through our lives? I can't do that because I don't have the ability. I don't have the provision. One of the things that I want to get into our newest pastor, Pastor Nathan, I want to get this in him that he can do all things through Christ who strengthens him. That there's nothing at all that limits his ability to minister to this community's youth. Nothing. Nothing that limits it. I'm going to be probably coming to you on a regular basis and saying, folks, I've told him we can do it. Now let's do it. Come on. Because folks, whenever we look at it in our own ability, from our own perspective, our ability is limited, but God's is unlimited. And I'm just going to tell you, if I have a choice, I would rather look at any situation that I face, not from my own perspective, but from the perspective of God. Come on, you start looking at it from your perspective, guess what happens? You get all bummed out. You get all depressed. Well, I can't do it. It's so short in the checkbook this month. But if you look at it from God's perspective, nothing shall be impossible. That's what it says in Luke 1:37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Jesus said this, unto him, if thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. So why is faith so important? Next question is, what is the source of faith? First of all, faith is a gift from God. You're not going to find it watching Fox News or Jeopardy. Come on. It's a gift of God. In John 3:27, a man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. A man can receive nothing unless it's given him from heaven. It comes from God. Bible says every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above, the Father of lights. It comes from God. And God's not going to allow any kind of human effort to perform divine results. Now come on. God's not going to let any kind of human effort perform divine results. It is all God. It is zero man. You know why he's like that? Because he won't share his glory with anybody. Let me just tell you a secret about this glory thing. Because some people kind of get all stacked up with this. Well, I don't know why God wouldn't share his glory. I'll tell you why he won't share his glory with mankind. Because mankind did not die for their own salvation. He did. We don't deserve any glory. I'll tell you what we deserve. We deserve the pit of hell. But God gave us a chance. He gave us a hand up through the blood of Jesus Christ. He won't share his glory. You see, faith is an imparted thing. And it is spiritual in nature. 1 Corinthians 12 lists faith as a manifestation of the Spirit. In Galatians 5, 22 and 23, it lists faith as a fruit of the Spirit. Faith cannot be worked up. Listen to me. Faith cannot be worked up. You know, if we play our music just right, if we have the sound just right, if the air conditioner's on just right, we can work up faith. I'm telling you, it can't happen that way. You cannot work faith up. You can't have the right emotion for faith as well. That's not an emotional thing. You can't yell, you can't shout, you can't scream. You can't take the devil and scream at him or scream at a disease. It's not going to move until you put your faith in action. You move into the spiritual realm of God, this imparted faith that we've been talking about. Faith is tied to God's word. In Psalm 138:2, it says, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. God says this of his own self. He says, you've magnified your word above your very name. God places infinite value on his word. Because if you can't trust his word, how could you ever trust God? And then you get this scripture that all of us know. It's faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. It's in Romans chapter 10. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And some of you are hearing the word of God today as this sermon is being preached. I think I've read 5, 6, 8 scriptures by now. And so, man, faith must be just really rising inside of you. Yes? This is a real simple point here. Faith come comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. I like to memorize the Word, but I want to tell you something. It doesn't say that faith's going to come by memorizing the Word. Memorization is a great tool. Don't misunderstand me. Not putting it down. I believe it's a great thing. It doesn't say that faith comes by hearing a good sermon, because folks, I tell you, good sermons are good sermons. Amen? I love to hear them. Preaching and teaching is so important to our lives. I don't know if I should read this one or not, because it's kind of dangerous. It doesn't even say faith comes by reading the Word of God. Come on. It says by hearing. But that's a little bit deceptive, because, see, you can't just plug in a CD in your car and go about your business and hear the Word of God, and whenever you think you've reached the destination of your trip, you jump out and you go, man, I've listened to 4 CDs today. I am a man of great faith. How many of you have heard the Word and heard the Word and heard the Word and still lack faith? You see, the church today, of any generation that has existed in the church today, this is the generation that has heard probably more of the Word than any other generation. You have to understand, whenever Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were here on this earth, folks, the Word of God was few and far between. They had to go so somebody could read it to them. Here, man, how many of you have Bibles, plural? I got Bibles everywhere. I got so many Bibles on my computer, I can't even keep up with how many Bibles are on my computer. But this hearing thing, we've got to talk about it. I heard a sermon one time, and this guy came out on the platform, and he had a ruler in his hand. And I've taught this several times since then, but he had a little ruler in his hand, and he said, this is a foot, 12 inches, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 12 inches. He says, this 1 foot right here will defeat any Christian that sits in this congregation. 1 foot, 12 inches, will defeat you. I'm all, man, that must be a wicked ruler. I've had teachers, I've even had my mom hit me with them things a few times. Maybe that's what he's talking about. And then he held it up between his brain and his heart. He said, that's how many inches it is from your brain to your heart. And he says, whenever the Word of God comes to you, if it only stays in your head, you will never, ever get it. It has to make a trip, and that trip is 12 inches. It has to go from your brain down to your heart, and then all of a sudden, the Word becomes rhema. You go, yeah, that's what that word means. Rhema. You read the Word, and the Word becomes spiritual. You hear this spiritual voice coming from the Word. You obtain the spiritual truth that comes from the Word. Rhema word. Rhema. Remember a kids camp that we hosted in Montana, and I can convey this to you with words, but words probably will not describe what we actually had. It is the most powerful service that I have ever been in my life, as the Spirit of God fell at a kids' camp up in the mountains of Montana one night. To this day, I look back and I think, God, why did you do that? I look back and say, how did you do that? I would like to duplicate that many times over, but I have to tell you, it was just the sovereignty of God just fell in this kids camp. And I'm telling you, there was a mighty move of God that was occurring in the midst of these kids and counselors of this kids camp. There was this one young man that didn't respond to the altar as many of the kids were up, and they were just before the Lord, just worshiping Him and praising Him and just crying out to Him. And God was so ministering them in such powerful ways. But there was this one young man that you could tell he had come from a very, very difficult background. And he was sitting out into the middle of all these folding chairs, and he was all by himself in this one particular section. He was by himself, and I kind of gave him attention for a moment and knew where he was at, knew he was sitting there, but I went on, and God was ministering through me, and so I was busy, and all of a sudden I just began to hear some shouting and some commotion, and I looked over, and this young man had gone from a place where he had had his head down into his hands, and he was just kind of folded up, and he was just quiet and sedate, to a place now he's up on his feet. He's got both hands raised in the air, and he's just jumping around in circles in the midst of all of these folding chairs. And I'm telling you, these chairs were just just being knocked out of the way. And he's just shouting. He's not shouting any words. He's just shouting. And so I thought, hey, this looks good. Let me go see what happened. And so I walked over to him, and he's just knocking chairs everywhere. He's got a circle about 10 foot wide now, all cleared out. And how he kept from falling, I don't know. But man, he's just loving on Jesus. And so I kind of got a hold of him, and I said, man, what happened? And he said, Pastor, God loves me. Woo, man. I'm going to tell you that the moment he said that, I understood the weight of what he was saying to me. That somehow in that place where he had kind of cocooned himself in, he was trying to shut out everything that was taking place. The Spirit of the living God came into him and said, man, I'm telling you, above all, I love you with a passion. I love you with something that you can't even understand, but let me just give you a little bit of it. This young man came to his feet and just started shouting and jumping around. And that was all he said to me that night. He said, man, God loves me. You see, how many times that he had preached, God loves me, God loves me, God loves me, but it remained right here. It had never traveled that 12 inches that it had to travel. You see, that's the rhema word of God. Whenever you hear the word of God, come on now with me. Whenever you hear the word of God, you notice I'm not pointing to my ears. Whenever you hear the word of God, woo, baby, that's where faith comes from right there. I remember a particular time in my life where my back was kind of against the wall and there seemed to be no options out there as far as mankind was concerned. And I was having a very, very bad day, very, very bad week. And the Lord spoke this to my spirit. He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And y'all know where that comes from? That was Charlton Heston holding out his stick over the Red Sea. Come on now. The Spirit of God took me to that verse. He took me to that scripture. And he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And I want to tell you, man, all of a sudden, I heard the word of God. I mean, I heard it. Woo-hoo! And it was right here. I'm telling you, I was just like that kid. I had my hands up. I'm jumping around. Wasn't any steel chairs or anything. There were pews and altars and such. But I wasn't knocking them out of the way because I think they were bolted down. I mean, I was just praising the Lord. I knew that at that moment, God was going to deliver me. I knew it. I walked out of there, man. There was a spring in my step. Zippity-doo, zippity-dah, man. God, you are good today. You know why? Because I heard the word of God. I know I spent way too much time on this, but faith comes by hearing the word of God. I'm not telling you to quit listening to sermons. I'm not telling you to quit memorizing scripture or quit reading the word of God. But I'm telling you that you need to sometimes kneel down and say, God, God of heaven and earth, I got to hear your word today. I got to hear it because I got to have some faith to take me through whatever it is that I'm going through. Our relationship with God can never be in the natural realm. See, sometimes we try to make it that. We go, okay, God, this is where I live, and I really want to have my relationship with you where I live. Come on. But God is saying, no. No, he says, this is where I live. And let me tell you something, where I'm at, it's better than where you're at. I want you to have a relationship with me, not in the natural realm. But he says, I want you to move to the spirit realm. A few years ago, I taught a series of messages in here called something. I knew it just a minute ago. But it was all about the unseen realms. The unseen realms that you and I walk in every day. How many of y'all know that in this room right here today, there are angels? There are angels. There are angels in this room. They can hear what I'm saying right now. They may be behind me. I don't know. But there are angels in this room. They may be sitting on the step. I'm sorry, I almost stepped on it. But there are angels in this room. There is a spiritual realm that is invisible, that is just as real as the realm in this room that is natural. Like this natural carpet we've got on the floor. It's a natural color. Straight from nature. And I want to tell you, God refuses for us to have a relationship with Him in the natural realm. God is spirit. And those that commune with God are going to do so in spirit and truth. And so now lastly, how do we activate this faith? How do we activate it? This faith that is so important to the body of Christ, that is so important to every individual in the body of Christ. Now, for some of you out there that are like techies, please don't come up to me after service and tell me that this exists, okay? But right now in my house, it doesn't. And so this afternoon, if I get a chance to take a nap, I'm going to do so watching golf. Because if you watch NASCAR, but if you watch golf, oh. Oh. Okay, y'all with me? So in order to get the TV on, you have to have a remote. Because, you know, used to, I was my dad's remote. He'd say, hey, hit the Viz. That's what he said. That was code in our house for me jumping up and turning on the television. And, you know, we had about four stations, I think, and like maybe three stations on UHF that you had to turn and do the dial a different way. And so I'd stand there until I found something he wanted to watch because I was his remote. Turn it on. Wait for it to come on. Wait. The tubes all have to warm up. Dink, it's on. Okay. And then I'd start changing channels. He'd go, okay, right there. That's good. But today we got these things called remotes. And I could go home this afternoon because I'm going to watch golf. And I could say, television, come on. I could even look right directly at that little place in the front. You know, it's a sensor that, like, if Renee puts something over the top of it, like flowers, you can't get it. And I have to say, Renee, you're going to have to move those flowers. But they're so pretty there. Caleb, hit the Viz. But if I said, television, come on, all day long, guess what? It's not going to come on. I have to literally pick up that remote and push the button. And if there's nothing in front of it, it's going to come on. The television's not going to come on until I push the button. God gives us faith. Every one of us have a measure of faith. But we have to learn to activate that faith in our lives. To activate it. God does His part. He gives us the Word. He gives us the command. And one of the things we've got to learn to do is we have to learn to obey. There's so many things about faith that the very next step in walking in faith is walking in obedience. We must obey. You remember the man who was lowered down by ropes by his buddies? And, you know, Jesus told him, take up your bed and walk. It was obedience. He rolled up that bed and he walked. Rise and walk. Go and wash. Zacchaeus, come down here. Are you with me? You and I have to begin to walk with obedience in our life. Faith operates by action. There's always kind of a stepping out place that comes in faith. And until you make that first step, that's obedience to what God has told us to do, you will not receive the reward of faith. Come on. Y'all are looking at me. Funny. Faith requires obedience. Sometimes the action or the stepping out is not just a physical action, but it's also a verbal commitment. How many of y'all know your mouth is really important? It really is. And so often we use our mouths in ways we is just absolutely futile to our living by faith. I got to tell you, so many things that we have coming out of our mouths should be structured around our life of faith. A verbal commitment. Be it unto me. That's scripture. Be it unto me. You're reading along in this word and all of a sudden a rhema word jumps out and it gets all over you. It makes that trip, that foot from your brain to your heart. And all of a sudden you've heard the word of God. You look down and I got to tell you something. You have to have a verbal commitment to it. You have to say, be it unto me. As your word is written, be it unto me, God. Like the man whose servant was sick. According to your word, Lord. According to your word. See again. The Syrophoenician woman. Even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Or speak the word only. I like that one. Speak the word only and it's going to take place, Lord. Sometimes it's not just physical, and sometimes it's not just verbal. How many of y'all know that sometimes it is physical and verbal? The woman with the issue of blood, as she made her way through the crowd, she said, if I can touch the hem of the garment, I will be made whole. It was physical as she pushed her way through. It was verbal in her heart. Mary, the very first miracle that Jesus performed, what did she get the servants together? She lined them up and she says, whatever he says, you do it. Are y'all with me? Folks, this morning I could not ever emphasize something more passionately than what I'm emphasizing today. We have to be a church of faith. It is faith that breaks the yokes that are on people's lives through the anointing of Jesus Christ. It's because people believe it to happen. I look back at my own life and I got to tell you something. There are many times where I've taken a risk in faith, believing God to minister to a life and stepping out in faith and with actions as well as words and believing that this word is true for them. I have to be honest with you. Sometimes it's easier for me to believe this word for you than it is for me to believe this word for me. But we got to be a people of faith. I'm thankful for the name that we have in this community. I really am. I wasn't just very long ago talking to somebody and they go, oh yeah, you guys are the church that does the thing down at the fair every year with a big tent. You know, we borrowed that tent many, many years ago and we'd take it back and forth several times a year, you know, take it, get it. And finally we just went and got it and we just kept it. They didn't need it. So we haven't taken it home in I think 7 or 8 years. I found out last week the guy who owns the tent is retiring from his church. So I called him and I said, hey, we got your tent. He goes, it's yours now. I go, yeah! So I guess, let's see, possession is 9/10 of the law or something like that. Actually, if he said we had to bring it home, I was going to say, you're going to have to come and get it. And I got a youth pastor that has a gun and knows how to use it, so we're stationing it. Said, I'm so glad that you guys do that every year for the fair. I'm so glad you minister to the community's children. And it's kind of be nice to be known as the church that is does something good for the community. Amen? But I got to be very, very frank with you. I would much rather this church be known as a church that has faith. Because it is faith that brings answers to prayer. And folks, I got to tell you, if there was ever a moment in the history of this nation whenever we need answered prayer, it is today. We have so many things that so many people are tangled up in. And I got to tell you, we need answered prayer. We need God to move. And we need men and women and young people who just begin to believe the Word of God and begin to operate with the Word of God. Now, I said early on in this message that we were kind of in good company, if you would, with the disciples. You remember Jesus was constantly rebuking them. Oh, ye of little faith. You know, and I just wonder, you know, I don't know if Jesus was physical or not, but I wonder if he bonked them in the head whenever he did that, you know, just. I wonder if they were together for so long that after a while he didn't even have to say it. He just had to go. Just give them a look. I should call a couple of ladies up here and get them to give a look because they're much better at it than the guys. Much better. My wife can say like three paragraphs with just one look. I can muddle through two or three syllables is about all. But, you know, I'm just kind of wondering. Jesus, did he have to give them a look? You know, did he have to say it every time? Oh, ye of little faith. But one of the things that I got to tell you, something happened in the life and times of the early church. Because all of a sudden they came from a place where, oh, ye of little faith, to people who operated by faith. They moved in the realm of faith. They refused to have a relationship with God in their own realm. They said, we're moving on up to where you are. You see, Peter and John, early on in their lives, they walked through this gate called Beautiful, and they looked down at a beggar that had been lame all of his life and said, silver and gold, I don't got any of that. But what I have to you, they were talking out of a rhema word of God. They were talking out of a word that they had heard. Not here, but here. They said, what I have, I give unto thee. Rise up and walk in the name of Jesus. And I'm telling you, that paralytic man jumped to his feet and he went jumping and dancing all over the place because something took place in their life. They moved from a realm of little faith to a realm of great faith. The apostle Peter, who was constantly getting it on the head, oh, ye of little faith, he was the one who literally in the book of Acts, it says he walked down the roadway and they had brought out people who were lame and afflicted and they laid them in the road and Peter's shadow began to cast over the top of these individuals who were lame and afflicted and burdened down with every kind of disease, and his shadow, as it touched them, they were healed. Come on. You know why that happened? Because Peter believed it would happen. He said, I don't have time to pray for all of these sick people. But Father, let my shadow, as it passes over them, let it bring healing. You're the healer anyway, it's not me. See, Peter went from a place of operating in his own realm to operating in a realm of faith. Jared, if you'll come and help me close this, folks, this is a place where I desire to live. Faith. I mean, have you ever thought what they'll write on your cemetery plot? Seriously. What will people talk about whenever they come together and celebrate you going home to be with Jesus? Because you've been there at the meals and the funerals, the memorials, whenever people got up. And I'll tell you what I'll remember about my friend here. He is a good man. He is good. He was good in a good sense. Really good. We had good times together. He's a good guy. You've been there. You've been there whenever families have kind of got together. You know, one of your loved ones went home to be with Jesus, and families began to recollect all the things that they remembered about that one that had gone on before them. I mean, shouldn't it be our desire that whenever people gather around our homegoing, that they may recollect all the crazy stuff that we did and maybe some funny times, and but ultimately, whenever all is said and done, wouldn't it be awesome to be remembered as a man or a woman of faith? I tell you, they believed the word of God. I can remember them so often grabbing a hold of my shoulders and praying a prayer over my life. And whenever I looked in their eyes, I knew they believed it. You see, that's what I believe us as human beings should strive for, is to be people of faith. To live in His realm, the realm of all things are possible. Faith the size of a mustard seed. That's what I strive after. I want to believe the Word of God. I want it to be rhema to me and for me to act on it and to see it worked out in this physical realm that you and I live in. Amen?